Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
And now, tales of the Old West as Phil visits a frontier town.
Howdy.
How you doing?
Well, I can't complain. How are you?
Good. I'm new to your town here. And I know, what are you having, a horse race here?
We're just running the horses a little bit.
I was wondering if you could tell me, do you have the internet? You know, is there an internet service here?
Yeah, what, say that again.
Internet,
I know they had the Arapaho up here, but the Federals moved them on out. Your Federal troops came in.
The Arapaho No, these aren't Indians. The internet is not, it's not an Indian.
No, you don't say an Indian.
No.
What are your internet service?
Well, it's a communications kind of device.
Well, we got telegraph at the end of the road.
Not telegraph, exactly. It's something a little bit more... It's more complicated than the telegraph.
Uh-huh.
It takes electricity. You have to...
All electricity. Well, you know, they were going to bring it in here, but people here... We got enough electricity to the telegraph. I hear the next town over to Cheyenne now had the street lamps, you know, but we don't have them yet.
All right. Okay.
Hold on. Butch?
Yeah? You know the internet? I know that Chief Wycoat. He came try to trade some beaver pelts.
No, it's not an Indian. It's a...
What'd you call that?
It's a communications device.
Communication device.
What kind of device?
Communication. Communication, you half-breed.
You know, the Negro, they don't... please, sir, I...
What's the matter?
Nothing. All right, I'll ask somebody else.
You look at the internet, huh? Go over there, Sheriff's office.
Hi, Sheriff. How you doing?
I'm trying to kill these horses. You see, I've been running them all morning.
Yeah, they're just going around and around out there.
What can I do for you? You from here?
No, sir, I'm not.
Where are you from?
I come from California.
Oh, California territory, huh? Where about?
Los Angeles.
I don't know that. That the Pueblo?
Yeah, it's a Pueblo. Yeah, it's down...
I've been to San Francisco.
Yeah, it's Los Angeles, small Pueblo.
You Mexican?
No, I'm not a Mexican, no.
Got people there?
I've got some people in Los Angeles, yeah.
They white people?
Yeah, they're mostly white people. They're not Mexicans.
Right.
But I want to communicate with them, okay?
Well, Federal Post come through here about a week ago. It'll be up again probably on Wednesday. Wednesday, Thursday at the latest.
Well, I can't write a letter. I was wondering if you had the internet.
I don't know. You know what we did? We had an engine come through here. It was real drunk.
No, it's not an Indian. The internet is not an Indian tribe. The internet is a communications device that if you you can talk to people with it.
I got telegraph.
The guy told me about the telegraph. The internet is something that has a picture. It's a way of communicating. It's a way of talking to people, and they can talk back to you.
You religious?
Am I what?
Are you religious? Is that a religion?
A religion? No, it's a... Why do you ask that?
You want to talk to people and do what?
I want to talk to people on the internet.
Mister, I'll tell you something right now. If you're an Indian agent, you talk to federal people. I'm just a local sheriff.
I'm not an Indian agent, man. The internet is not an Indian tribe.
You want to talk to the internet, man? I know a man down here about the end of the road. He speaks some Arapaho, knows some Cheyenne, too.
But it's not an Indian tribe, man. I don't know. I don't want to talk any Indian talk. I want to talk... I want the internet. The internet is a network. Network, you know?
All right, the lady down here does dresses.
Dresses?
Phil wandered the town looking for someone who knew the internet.
Hi, how you doing?
Well, I'm fine, but you don't look so good.
Whiskey.
I'll have the same, maybe some mulberry tea.
What's your name?
Well, that doesn't matter. The question is, why would you be walking around here like a jackball asking people about the internet some 130 years before it's invented? You're some kind of piece of work, aren't you?
Thanks for pointing. I'm just trying to do it for the purposes of this bit, you know, because I thought internet sounded like an Indian, so I wanted to stretch it out as much as I could. Where are you from? You're not even written into the bit.
Well, you know what I am? I'm the good fairy of all broken bits. Bits that just don't seem to be going anywhere. I come down from heaven and just try to clean them up a little bit. In your case, it can't be cleaned up so much as just mercifully put to an end. So if you will, I toast you to a well-meant but ultimately real dog-eared bit.
You don't think internet sounds like an Indian tribe?
No, I don't. No, I don't.
Tales of the Old West with Phil Hendry. Brought to you by Borax 20 Mule Team. Yeah!
Hi, everybody. I'm John Wayne. And when I want to clean the grit out from underneath my nails, I use Borax. I put in boiling hot water into a tub and stick my hand in it, pull it out, and see if there's anything left. One thing won't be there, dirt and grime. You better believe it. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Borax! I beg your pardon.
All right, nice horn there, bud. It's the way I like the way you locked that out with the horn.
Thank you.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Very nice, sir. Thank you.
I thought it was a very funny bit, Mr. Hendry.
Well, I disagree. I think it was way underneath what you usually are capable of, Mr. Hendry.
Thank you for weighing in. I'm not asking you guys to come in and, you know, comment on...
Well, I just want you to know I love everything you do, and I like it.
This guy's a rear-end sucker. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Why don't you watch your language?
I'm just telling you, I know all of your bits, and I even got a backstage pass. How about that?
Yeah, I bet you do. Is it open for service tonight?
Oh, you're calling me a fairy, huh? Mister, that's court-martial talk, and I got a witness.
Oh, hang up on both of them. All right, it's time now for our New York at the turn of the century, huh? We were just talking about, you know, like taking yourself, going back to the past, and going back to, let's say, like Harry was telling me, read an article about New York at the turn of the century. I read a book on 5 points and a history of 5 points. And everybody talks about the old days. Yeah, the old days were great if you like diphtheria. All right. What are you talking about, man? Why, I remember. You remember what? You remember dying of a burning fever and not being able to breathe because your entire body is locked down with typhus? Yeah, you remember, huh? Not only that, Harry pointed out, you're right, man. What is it with the clothing? Ever see pictures of people at a ball game? At a ball game. Guys in a full hat and everything. You don't see guys taking off their shirts at those ball games. You see some guy out there, you know what, man, I can't take it anymore. What's the matter? It's 180 degrees. I'm wearing a wool jacket. I'm wearing a wool jacket and a vest. Yeah, what's unusual about that? It's 120, man. Well, you mean you're going to take it off? Yes, I'm taking the jacket off, I'm taking the shirt off. Why, you queer. What? Doesn't mean I'm queer for you, man. I'm trying to get some cool air on me. This is 1900, Jim. You can't take that jacket off. Not without having a cop come around here, man, and box your freaking ears. Stick you in the paddy wagon, take you downtown, soften up your head a little bit. All right, now that we've given you the prelude, here it is. Here's the flashback. This is from Deb Wood, and she writes, Phil, I love it when you lose it during a bit. Can you play Burning Bugs? There's two reasons why. Number one, I've never heard it. Number two, it's not all-you-can-eat Negro. Thanks, Deb Wood, happy backstage pass holder. Well, you're right, Deb. This is another bit where I just lost it. The engineer that you hear laughing is Mike Crozier, was my engineer at the time, and... the character, I think, is Larry Grover, who had seen an accident on the freeway and stopped to help because it was a female officer investigating. Tell the audience the story you just told me.
Phil, when I was at the scene, the officer had her back to me. And
now, I don't mean to interrupt, but we're talking with this gentleman who went to a accident scene in Pasadena on the 210 this afternoon and attempted to, in his words, assist in the investigation. Because it was a female officer, what he thought was a junior officer, and you were taking pictures, right, sir?
I was taking photographs of the scene, yes, sir.
And what else were you doing? You put out road flares?
I put out road flares. I moved traffic along. I did desperately anything that I could do to assist this officer.
And you could tell that it was bugging her, and she wanted you to back off. Isn't that right?
She told me to back off once, and the rest of the time I spent collecting evidence.
What do you mean... What, you were collecting evidence?
Yeah, that's right, Phil. I keep a magnifying glass in my car. And
Wait a second. This is a police investigation of a scene at an accident.
That is correct, yes.
Who are you, man? What are you? You're retired?
Yes, sir, I am retired, and I have spent my life loving this country and supporting our police. What I did, basically, Phil, is I...
No, I want to ask you, you were collecting evidence?
I do. What I did was, after the officer told me to back off, I went to my car and I got out my magnifying glass and immediately went to work on the crime scene. I got on my hands and knees and began just analyzing the asphalt behind my car because I didn't want to piss the cop off. So I...
Well, where were you? So you're analyzing evidence.
Yes, I pulled out the magnifying glass.
Where were you?
Well, I didn't want to piss the cop off, so I went back around behind my car and just got down on the ground and analyzed evidence back there.
So, but you were nowhere near the scene.
No, I was not near the crime scene at that particular point. What I thought I would do is do a little, basic investigation behind the scene. For a while, I was on my hands and knees looking for evidence. Then I got bored.
Okay, wait a second. You were doing what?
For a while I was on my hands and knees analyzing evidence with the magnifying glass. Then I got bored and started burning pots.
Well, that's great.
Thank you.
Oh, that's the end of the bit. I couldn't get it out, man. I don't know if... This is the truth. And I don't know if anybody out there suffers from this same malady, but you actually heard it happening to me there. Now, I've been to neurologists for this, and I've had this for pretty much all of my life. I've been laughing my whole life, and I've been, because I find things funny. And there have been times when, and to this day, I laugh so hard, and I find something so funny that I lose, this is going to sound weird, but it's true, I lose muscular control. I cannot keep upright. I can't control my body. And the reason why, what you're listening there, you didn't really hear me laughing so much as trying to breathe, because I was laughing and I was also trying to remain upright. Now, there's two things that are going on. You're laughing so hard, you're starting to sit upright, and at the same time, you know that people are looking at you and wondering, what the hell is happening to him?
You ever lost your mud?
I beg your pardon?
Have you ever lost your mud?
So, what you heard...
Why don't you answer the question?
No, man, I haven't lost my mud. What a jackball question.
Well, you say you lose muscular control. Why wouldn't you lose the mud?
So, I've had this, and I've been to neurologists for the long... Yeah?
Well, why not answer the question? You lose the mud or not?
I'm not saying, okay?
Don't you hang up on...
So I've had this problem. I went to a neurologist and I said to the guy, okay, what gives, man? Because I got this sleep paralysis thing, which I've told you guys about. He goes, it's all related to the same disease called narcolepsy. Ever heard of narcolepsy? And thank God I don't have that. But narcolepsy is a disease that some people have where if you feel a strong enough emotion, you fall asleep. You fall asleep. So people will suddenly just, like, go to sleep. So say, for instance, you're sitting in the lobby of a hotel, and someone comes screaming down the stairs and yells, the place is on fire, and you just see a guy go... That's a cat with narcolepsy, because the emotion of the moment is just taking him over. Well, all of this is kind of associated with the same thing. It's kind of a neurological thing where there's a, you know, you're just... So anyway, that's what was happening, and it's happened to me here on occasion. And I don't know why, but some things just juxtaposed. Well, this dude getting bored and burning bugs after he was trying to help at a crime scene. So there it was. You're welcome, Deb. And that's that is called Burning Bugs, and it's from from the 98 CD called Chilling Day for Talk Radio, Burning Bugs. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Larry Grover, who you just heard there, is going to be with us later. And we're also going to talk to Chris Norton about his... Chris Norton method on how to pick up older women. Apparently, it's a seminar session that tells you what you need to know about meeting older chicks. And he's some kind of a... As a matter of fact, it reminds me of... Did you guys ever see this movie Unfaithful with Diane Lane? Wow, man. That flick is intense. It's about a housewife. I shouldn't say a housewife, but it's really kind of about a woman who is older and she meets a younger guy and she has an affair with this dude. And, well, let's get Chris on the phone right now from Hermosa Beach, California. Chris, how are you? And thanks for joining the program.
I'm really good, Mr. Aaron. I'm really grateful that you have me on the program because I really want people to know about, you know, my method, the MILF method, which is the Chris Norton MILF method.
The Chris Norton MILF method, is that it?
That's correct, yes, sir.
Okay, tell me why I should listen to you about picking up older women.
Well, I mean, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but for you, there'd be probably younger women, but...
All right, what I'm saying is me in terms of the audience. Pain in the ass.
Well, basically, Ms. Turner, I'm 28 years of age. I am very good looking. I have been with and have had sex with a lot of great many lot of women, and I have had experience. You have in the Chris Norton MILF method, you have a higher success rate. I don't get turned down by women, not to say that I think I'm special, but because I'm good looking.
Right.
And my sexuality pretty much speaks for itself. A lot of guys, I suppose you could say, you know, they express themselves. Otherwise, my sexuality expresses me. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So you've never been turned down by any woman, but why older women then?
The basic reason I think why most guys want to pick up on older women is because older women tend to want it bad, and so most guys. If you visit our seminar, which we're going to have down at the Hermosa Pier. There's a couple of bus benches there, and if you can meet there at 8 o'clock on Saturday morning, I'm going to have the seminar there. And
wait a minute, you're having a seminar, just everybody goes to the bus benches there?
Yeah, at the Hermosa Pier.
Okay.
And number one, you have to know things about what the MILF knows. So I've been listening to, I don't know if you've heard about him, but there's a kind of a skank that, well, she was an older skank, and apparently she liked it bad, and she's in a band called Janis Joplin. I don't know if you know who it is.
Her name was Janis Joplin. That's the woman.
That's not the band?
No.
Well, she's a skank, right?
I think that's a pretty harsh term, man.
Well, in any event, if you know the music of Janis Joplin, then you'll also know what older women want. And another band that older women listen to is Jefferson Starplane, and they had a skank named Grace Slick in it. And then also know about movies like Poseidon Adventure and Butch Cassidy. And,
all right, besides movies and that, how do you approach, you know, how do you approach an older woman?
The thing to remember, Phil, is that older women, they want it real bad, so it doesn't take a lot of work if you're good-looking. But if you're mostly like most of the guys listening to me right now who are not good-looking, a good way is if she's with her kids, like little kids, then pretend like that you like her kids. You know, talk to them, get them gum and stuff, and then when she leaves, you don't have to pay any attention to them. A lot of guys think that they need to pay attention to the kids even if the woman's not there. I know a guy who, after the lady left, he saw the daughter. She was playing near like one of those luggage belts at the airport, and the kid got caught and trapped and sucked in. And he said, "Do you think I did the right thing?" I said, "Well, was the woman there?" He said, "No." I said, "Well, okay."
And what do you mean, man? He saw some kid get sucked in?
Well, they found the kid later. I mean, they had to go back and look at some of the larger items.
You doing shtick, man?
No, sir.
Because if you're doing shtick, I'm hanging up.
No, sir, I'm not.
Did a kid get sucked into the freaking conveyor belt at the luggage rack or not?
He said, yeah, but the kid was okay.
All right, do you bring her flowers? If you're talking about picking up an older woman, do you bring her flowers?
You don't need to bring old... You mean MILFs?
Yeah, MILFs.
No, you don't have to bring them flowers because they want it bad, so they don't care if you bring them nothing. Also, one thing's real important, though, Mr. Henry, if she's married, you should get a motel down in the black part of town because her husband will probably not want to go down there to find her. I mean, in other words, he would rather her just be with you than risk getting shot or knifed.
Okay, so if you're having an affair with an older woman who is married, find a motel down in the African-American part of town.
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. All right, Chris.
Well, I've got a few more ideas.
No, that's I've got all the time that I've got here, man.
Well, don't you want to hear about... You were talking about Diane Lane. She's got a pretty good pair.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I mean, you know what? I want to just go back on something. I was talking about the National Radio Hall of Fame, and I was sort of... I was bagging it a little bit, and I don't want you to get the wrong idea. I got a lot of respect for these guys. Paul Harvey, I mean, there's a lot of names here that I have a lot of respect for, right? But I never heard of the, in other words, radio, if I could be clear, so just so you don't think I'm a complete douche, maybe just in partial ways, maybe you really desperately want to believe that I am, and maybe you think I am fully, but may I mitigate that view just a little bit? I mean, I'm totally into supporting my industry, but radio is in such pathetic shape. Look at what I'm doing on the radio right now, I dig it. I love being on the radio. My industry is in really bad shape. One of the reasons is its own fault. I mean, it doesn't really have much respect for itself. So now we have, like, competing museums of Hall of Fame museums. It would be like if there were, like, 9 baseball Hall of Fames. There's one in Cooperstown, and then there's one over in, like, Oildale, you know? This is the National Baseball Hall of Fame in Oildale, California. Well, what about the one in Cooperstown? Well, it's fine, but we have ours here. And is Babe Ruth in yours? No. No, he's not, because we didn't think he was all that good. What do you think of that? Okay, fine. I just want to... Well, you want to make something out of it? You know, the dude's like... Babe Ruth ain't in yours. No, he's not in ours. All right. You know, I know that there's a Museum of Television and Radio in New York. There's a Museum of Television and Radio in Hollywood. I don't know if there's a radio hall. I didn't think there was a radio hall of fame, but I got this thing here from the Museum of Broadcast Communications, home to the National Radio Hall of Fame. And then I read a little bit closer, and I realize, well, it's at State and Kinsey Streets in some town. I don't know where this is. Do you know where State is? Is that Chicago? Okay, that's Chicago. That's a good town for it. Chicago's a great radio town. But when I look at the guys that are listed here who are going to be other broadcast and entertainment industry notables expected to attend are Angel and Paul Harvey, National Radio Hall of Fame inductees. Now, is Angel Harvey his wife? Is she in the Radio Hall of Fame? What did she do? Well, anyway, I think that Paul Harvey belongs there. I think the guy's fantastic. You want to know why? Because he's making $10 million a year and he's 150. That's why I think he's fantastic. Any guy that can stick at the management like that. Oh, my God. But then we get into some names where I question. In other words, if they're there, then, like, for instance, Bruce Williams. You ever heard Bruce Williams? He does a radio show, and it's a pretty good show, but it's a financial advice thing. And he's got a voice like this. Hello, everybody. I'm Bruce Williams. And he's got a little rap, like, we spin a dream, we weave a dream, and occasionally we make a dream come true. What do you want to talk about, you know? And so people will call and say, hi, Bruce. Hello, hi. What can I do for you? And the whole thing sounds just like he comes in, puts his feet up, he's picking the lint out from underneath his toenail, and the cat calls in, hi, Bruce.
Yeah. What can I do for you, my friend? What, everything's my friend. What can I do for you, my friend?
Bruce, I recently purchased a car, and I found in the trunk 6 pounds of uncut pure heroin. Now, my question, of course, would concern the who owns that, do I?
You need an attorney.
That, his answer to everything is you either need an attorney or you need a good accountant.
So he'll say, okay, what did you find?
I found 100 pounds of uncut Turkish heroin.
Okay, was there a police report?
Yes, there was.
Okay, you got an attorney?
Yes, I do.
Is he any good?
Yes.
Call him up.
You know, that's really...
Let me tell you something, you know.
You ever talk to these guys, it's all just a big, fat pain in the ass? In other words, they've seen it all, man, you know? Yeah. Hey, man, I was thinking of starting a bill.
Let me tell you something, okay?
No, but this is really going to be...
There's not going to be anything, okay? Look, I have started 600 businesses, my friend. I've been bankrupt 600 times, okay? I've been flat on my ass with nothing. I've eaten human flesh. Do you understand what cannibalism is, don't you?
No.
But do you understand what cannibalism is? Do you know how poor that is?
No, but the guy says that if I invent...
No. I have been so broke that I ate my wife. I ate the whole thing, okay? And believe me, she wasn't smiling. I'm Bruce Williams. We'll be right back. See, so that's what you're... you bet, that guy. All right. So that's why I say Bruce Williams does belong in the Broadcast Hall of Fame, now that I think of it. Now that I think about it, having recounted the Cat Show, it's pretty damn good. You know, I just don't want to be bothered with a lot of bull crap. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I really believe that this flower shop is going to be a great investment. All I need is $50,000.
Well, your flower shop, schmower shop. You know, let me tell you something, my friend. At the end of the day, if you've got all 10 of your fingers and all 10 of your toes and your genitals are there, you're a lucky man. Believe me, you're a lucky man. You love those guys? You're a lucky man if at the end of the day you can look down and the thing's still hanging there. Huh? All right, be well. I'm Bruce Williams. I'll be right back. So the guy calls up with all this, you know, I've got a business idea, Mr. Williams, and I believe that at the end of the day, if you can look at it, just pull out your pants and look down at there. You see anything? Yeah, you're a lucky man. Okay, great. So just don't do anything so long as I haven't been castrated. You go another 24 hours, and you're good. All right, coming up, the late, well, I want to say the late great, but he isn't dead yet. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Jay, thank you for being with us tonight. I know that there are a number of what you call groundbreaking developments with the Citizens Auxiliary Police and crime as it pertains to the security of homes. You want to tell us a little bit about it?
I do, Phil, and thank you for having me on your program. And when I say we, Major Ellis Newton, myself, and the allied sub-commanders of the Citizens Auxiliary Police South Bay District, got together earlier this month and reviewed procedure as it is now applied by law enforcement across the country. Now, at that time, we felt that we needed to develop new methods whereby crime prevention could be very much a part of the overall discipline of police officers. Citizens Auxiliary Police, as you mentioned, Phil, formed in 1996 to oversee police operations as a volunteer police agency and adjunct, have come up with a number of protocols and procedures which we feel will noticeably decrease the incidence of crime and help law enforcement throughout the country. Recently, at a convention in Long Beach, we were called upon to give our opinion about a murder that took place in Lawndale. I talked to Larry Larson, who is also a member of the Long Beach Movie.
Hold on for a minute.
And he told me.
Hold on for a minute, man.
Yeah.
It's bugging me.
What are you going to do?
What's the matter, Phil?
No, nothing. There's something I can't tell you. Just, okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Just go ahead, Mr. Santos.
All right. Anyway, Phil, in an effort to help law enforcement, we have been trying, and with some difficulty, to come up with a series of procedures along on specificity.
I can't take it anymore, man. Will you do something with this guy?
Hold on, Mr. Santos?
Yeah, that's right.
Do you have anything in your mouth?
No, I don't.
You don't have anything cylindrical in your mouth, right?
No.
Okay.
Is that it?
What do you want me to do?
If there's a problem, just let me know, Phil. We certainly try to clarify what it is I'm saying here.
It's the way you say your L's, man. It's driving me ape.
What do you mean the way I say my L's?
You're right there. The way you say your L's.
What do you mean?
You swallow your L's, man. It's.
I'm swallowing what? No one's ever told me I swallow it.
I'm just saying that you're swallowing your L's. Never. I should just ignore it. Go ahead. Forgive me, Mr. Santos. So you've developed some protocols.
That's right. We've developed some protocols. And these are what I think are going to help people in a lot of communities all over the country. Number one, Phil, is the use of the helicopter. The helicopter is used by law enforcement currently as a surveillance and tracking device, but we feel the helicopter can be used at eye level. That is, use the helicopter as it hovers outside of the bedroom window, or not bedroom window necessarily, but the window of a private establishment so that the officer inside the helicopter can see inside a window. All right, now, number two, we feel that the current television set that is used in homes across America, especially here in Los Angeles, the television set can be a two-way...
Oh!
Go to the
Hollywood...
What? Boy, that's too bad.
Well, man, I can't take it.
With what?
Television. Law enforcement.
Bill, you need to break.
Look, I'm fine.
You need to break.
Look, I'm not going to sit here and have this douche.
It's all right, sir. I'll talk to him during the break. You got a break.
We'll be right back on the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Where is he?
He hung up.
He hung up?
Yeah.
You know something, man? I don't know why where he gets off hanging up on me. I'm trying to listen to this cat talk, and I'm talking serious to him, and every other word is...
Well, the guy's not a professional radio broadcaster. What do you want from him?
I don't know, man. It was driving me nuts. Did he have to hang up?
Yeah, he told me he thought that you were a douche par excellence, his words.
A douche par excellence. All right, 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Let's take some phone calls. I honestly do apologize to Mr. Santos. Larry, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Mr. Henry, how are you doing this evening?
Good.
Mr. Henry, I wanted to mention to you that the Latin Music Awards are going to be coming up on television. This is apparently the 6th annual Latin Music Awards, and I think that that's something they should be proud of. Good for them. And I hope they have many more Latin Music Awards. I don't understand, though, why we can't at least insist that these Latin Music Awards be broadcast in English. I think it's enough to say to these people, you can have your Latin Music Award, you can get up on stage, and you can celebrate the music of your countries. But because we're in America, and because this is a country that has afforded all people Latin, and all people, whites and Indians and everything, the ability to live a comfortable life, why can't these people honor America and do the Latin Music Awards in English? That's my question.
For me?
Yes.
Well, isn't it going to be broadcast in English?
No, it's being broadcast exclusively in Spanish. And I think that's a real slap to the face of the host country of these people. Because
it, what are the Latin Music Awards anyway, man? Is it like popular American Latin music, or is it?
I don't understand.
Well, I mean, is it music? Is it like South American? Is it all America? What is the story with this?
No, it's Latin artists in America.
Latin artists in America.
Yes.
Well, I don't know, man. I mean, you see, I just feel people can speak any language they want. I think the official language ought to be English, only because communication is what keeps a culture together and keeps a society together. The better you communicate, the better the society stays together. When you begin to give in to the impulse to have a lot of different languages, you begin unconsciously to fracture that society. Nobody wants it to happen. Nobody means for it to happen. It just happens as a byproduct.
That's really nice, but do you think that...
I'm just giving you some background. I wanted to get... I'm getting up to speed here.
Oh, you had a point.
Yeah, I got a point.
Thank you.
The point is, I don't see any how important why it's important to have English or Spanish. If they want to have it in Spanish, let them have it in Spanish.
Now, wait a minute. I was given to understand that you are a man who is sympathetic to the interests of certain groups. Now, I don't think I have to spell myself out here.
Sympathetic to what groups?
I was given to understand, someone said to listen to your program, that you were sympathetic to certain individuals who are trying to look out for the, shall we say, the European ancestry of our country.
What? What are you talking about?
Mr. Henry, there are people, there are friends of yours out here. We want you to know we are your friends. And you don't have to be afraid.
Afraid of what, man? What are you talking about?
I'm talking about English on television. I'm talking about groups of people who have your back. Now, we do not want to see the European American and the white race scrubbed out of existence.
Oh, wait a minute, man. What is this? Is this Skinheads or Us? Are you talking about...
I'm talking Skinheads or Us. Mr. Henry, I represent a group of former SS officers who right now are building condominiums in Argentina. All we're trying to...
All right, 1-800-449. Thank you very much for your call, sir. 1-800-449-8686. By the way, I would like those brochures on the condominiums. I don't want to have anything to do with you, but I just want to see what kind of interest rate I can get. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686.